Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours, and of the brethren the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. Let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." This morning we come in God's providence to chapter 22 in the book of Revelation. And in these studies, which have taken several weeks, my objective has been for us to see, at least in a little bit better fashion, the greatness and the glory of our God. I think that is terribly important for us, especially in this day and age. There was a time in our culture and in our society in which individuals spoke, for example, of the providences of God, and they spoke of the providences of God in a very casual and easy fashion. Rarely do we hear individuals speak this way today. We need a renewed understanding of the greatness of God, of the plans and the purposes of God, and the ultimate control of God and His sovereignty over all things. And so this has been the major thrust and the major theme that I have been trying to set forth in these particular studies. This morning, as we look at our outline, the theme is simply this: we keep the words of the prophecy of this book when we recognize the sovereign God of the universe
and realize we are part of His story. So we bring to conclusion that great theme, it seems to me, of the greatness of our God. As we look at the end of the book of Revelation, I want to zero in on this theme as we look at a particular phrase or particular phraseology in the 22nd chapter. The words of the prophecy of this book. Those words are repeated in this 22nd chapter. And I think that there is method behind the desires of God and of the prophet as those words are repeated. And so I call this morning's message, Keeping the Words of the Prophecy of This Book. And those words come out of one of the Beatitudes, as we shall see. So let's look at this particular text, Revelation chapter 22. And we'll work through the passage as has been our custom in the previous lessons. Verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the bondservants and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Here culminates the picture given to us of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, is the location of the river of life, of the tree of life, and of the light of life. And as I say, the picture, the vision of the New Jerusalem is culminated in these verses. In chapter 21 and in verse 9 it says, And one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then we began the beautiful picture of the New Jerusalem in splendid detail. Now that picture is being brought to an end. I want to tie this back to something else earlier in the book of Revelation. If you'd look with me at chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, Come here, and I shall show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. At the end of the book of Revelation, we see two great women. One is the harlot. And chapters 17, 18, and 19 display in graphic detail the fall of Babylon, that great harlot. Fallen, fallen is Babylon. And we looked at those chapters and felt the force of the judgments of God. And then in chapter 21 and verse 9, another one of those seven angels who carried the seven last plagues spoke to John and said, Come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And we have been looking at that glorious picture, the Lamb's bride, of which we are a part. The one is judged, the other is glorified. Thank God for the glory of the judge of the greatness of God. And thank God for His judgment. Here is the glory of our God, which is set before us. In the New Jerusalem, we find the river of the water of life.
coming out from the throne of God. And the picture is of the life that comes only from God. Notice that it is the throne of God and of the Lamb, indicating the divinity of Jesus Christ. I have mentioned this before, that God the Father and God the Son are spoken of together in one breath. And the Son is equal with the Father. And the book of Revelation is in fact a book which sets before us in graphic detail the divinity of Jesus Christ. There are streets in the New Jerusalem. And in the middle of its street, the second verse says, there is on either side of the street and in the river a tree of life. Now, this is a very interesting picture because in one sense we see one tree of life. But one of the commentators lays it before us in this way, that this street is lined with trees. 12 trees bearing each one a different type of fruit. And I think that is also a legitimate picture which is given to us. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. We are reminded of the parable of the mustard seed and how that mustard seed buried grew into a great tree under which all the nations of the earth were overshadowed and found refuge. Verse 3 tells us there is no longer any curse in the New Jerusalem for those who are a member of the Bride of Christ. And of course, we are reminded of Genesis chapter 3, which was just read for us. In the New Jerusalem, for those who are a part of the Bride of Christ, there is blessing and not that curse. The curse is upon all those who suffer in perdition, but in the New Jerusalem, it is no more. And the throne of God and of the Lamb are in it. In the New Jerusalem, again, Jesus Christ the Son and God the Father are linked intimately together. And of course, the servants of God serve both the Father and the Son. And they have the inestimable privilege of seeing the face of God. You know, in the Old Testament, it was said that no one can see God and live. And when Moses went up in the mountain and asked God if he could see the glory of God, God said, yes, I will pass by, but you will not see the front of me. You will not see my face. I'll put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'll put my hand over the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by, and you'll only see my back as I pass by. But now in glory, there is the full visage of the Father and of the Son beheld by the saints in glory. Jonathan Edwards said that we would not see a face, but that we would be confronted with God, mind to mind, spirit to spirit, and that there would be that intimate communion with the Father and with the Son. There is no lamp needed there, nor light of the sun, because the Lord God illumines the people of God. I said, was it a couple of weeks ago, that the sun in the sky is just a reflection of the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, is light. John says, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And so the picture is that in the New Jerusalem there can be no darkness, because darkness indicates sinfulness, and there can be no sin in that great and glorious place. All that sin will be shed from us. How glorious that will be, dear friends in Christ. And they shall reign forever. That is, they will be with God
forever. What a wonderful picture is given to us. And so, the great prophecies of the book of Revelation end with this magnificent vision given to us. But the book does not end there, does it? Let's read on, verses 6 through 9. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, 'Do not do that, for I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren and the prophets and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God.'" Dear friends, isn't it the case that the ultimate happiness comes to those who heed the prophecies, the words of the prophecy of this book? That's the beatitude which is set before us. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And as I read the end of this book, I had to ask the question, what does it mean to heed the words of the prophecy of this book? Well, again, I have been maintaining that one of the major themes of the book is simply that we would grasp the greatness of God. In chapter 4, we see the vision of the throne room and of the greatness of God and of the angels and principalities gathered around that throne. And then we see the book opened, the book with seven seals. That book which contains the plans and purposes of God, and it is only Jesus Christ who can open that book. And we saw the trumpet blast, the seven trumpets issuing their warnings and calls for repentance coming from heaven. And we saw the devastating judgments of God. And we saw the seven vials poured out. And we saw the doom of all of those who follow the beast and the false prophet and glory and revel in the things of Babylon. And we see in the end the exaltation of the people of God. And in all of that, I say that one of those themes is the greatness and the glory of God. And blessed is the individual who sees at least a little bit the wonders of heaven through this book and the glory of God through this book. And the glory of Jesus Christ through this book. That's why the beatitude, it seems to me, is set before us. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And then in verse 9, and he said to me, "Do not do that." Do not do what? John, overcome by that which he sees, falls on his face before the heavenly messenger, and the heavenly messenger says, "No, do not fall before me. I am but a creature. I am but a fellow servant of yours. I am but one who brings the message of God. Don't fall before me. Worship God." You see, that's the message again. I am one of those who heeds the words of this book. And what does it mean to heed the words of this book? See the greatness of God and worship Him. Let's move on again. Verses 10 through 17. And he said to me, Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and let the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Amazing words, dear friends. You see, the book is not sealed. Daniel was told to seal up the book, the words that he was given. Quite the opposite is said here. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. Why? Blessed is the one who hears and takes heed to the words of the prophecy of this book. It's terribly important that we do hear and heed the words of the prophecy of this book. I want you to turn back to the very beginning of the book of Revelation and look at the beatitude which is there. Verse 3. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let me ask you a question now. Have you considered yourself blessed as we have read the words of the prophecy of this book? Have you considered yourself blessed to study this great book and look into its contents and have just a modicum of understanding regarding its truth? Have you considered yourself blessed? The book is open for us to study. And it is the promise of God that those who read and take heed to it will indeed find great blessing. And so I say, in point 3, the words of the prophecy of this book are open for all to read. They set before us life and death. They set before us the ultimate issues, dear friends. The ultimate issues. I think it is very sad that for most of us, the ultimate issues have to do with money, wheat fields, grain elevators, and such things. Yes, they are important. And in the providence of God, He places us in this earth to work. But it is to work for His glory. And the life and death being spoken of in this book involve eternal issues. And those are the matters, dear friends, of ultimate import. And so at the end of this section, again we see the greatness of God. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning
and the end. You know, jeans with the proper patch on the hip, jeans with the proper logo on the back pocket, that's not the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have a right to the tree of life. The problem with Adam and Eve was that when they sinned, they were escorted out of the garden and a sword was placed flaming at the gate of the garden. Blessed are those who can enter and take of the tree of life and enter into that holy city. And so, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Do you hear? Do you hear? You know, we can hear and not hear. Isn't that what Jesus said? He who has an ear, let him hear. Are you willing to come? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, but many were unwilling. And it takes a work of the Spirit of God in the human heart to make the individual willing. My troops will volunteer freely in the day of my power, Jesus says, quoted in Psalm 110, verse 3, how glorious it is. And when we come, it is willingly that we come to Jesus. And that's the invitation that the bride gives even now, and that we are called to give. Because the water of life is without cost. It is the cost of Jesus that He died and paid for the sins of many and rose again. And it's on the basis of His work that we come. Verses 18 and following, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. You see that phrase again? I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Dear friends, you see, the message ought to be clear that we cannot add to the book. We cannot subtract to the book from the book. Why? If you add anything to the book, you add stipulations which God has not added. If you take away from the book, you have taken away requirements which God has stipulated. And it is impossible then for us to properly keep the words of the prophecy of this book. We do not have an adequate picture of Jesus Christ and of the Lord God to worship Him. And so it is terribly important that we neither add nor subtract from this book, but properly recognize the sovereign God of the universe. Right? Properly worship Him. Properly come before Him.
You see, I go back up to the top of the outline now, where it says, we keep the words of the prophecy of this book when we recognize the sovereign God of the universe and realize we are part of His story. What is history? It's His story, right? Isn't that what it is? And aren't we part of that? Aren't we caught up in it? And does not the Apostle Paul say to us, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes? Oh, that's just a cliche. Those are just nice words. And you shouldn't use those words in a critical situation, should you? And apply them in a tough situation. Because they're just such a cliche. You know, folks, if that's really how we view those words, then we haven't caught the message of this book. Because God is literally working His will in His story in history for His glory and for the good of His people, you and me. He's doing that. And I say with the psalmist, when I comprehend that even a little bit, I say with the psalmist, hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, help us in our understanding people who live in a fallen world. People overridden so much by the pleasures of this life and by sin itself. Grant that we might see, if only slightly, O God, through that door into heaven, into Your throne room, and see Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, as He opens the book. And His story is unfolded. Help us to see, O God, that we are there and that we are in that book, the part of that story. Help us to see, O God, that by Your mercy and grace, we are on the glory side of that story. Grant us great comfort, we pray, as we begin to see it more fully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.